trust.
And a prayer. Father, we ask that you would speak into our lives and make us receptive to hear and to obey. In the name of Christ. Amen. Well, last week, Roger read a letter from Reverend Simon Kirby, the Vicar of St. Mary's in Cogges, addressing the clergy in Witney and allowing us to hear those words. And as you know, Simon Kirby's proposal is to purchase the countrywide store at the Ducklington Roundabout as a church resource centre, and that had been briefly discussed by our own PCC. Is that a great opportunity or a threat, or maybe both? And will it happen or won't it? Questions I'm sure that we will hold as a congregation in coming months and perhaps for years. 2.5 years ago, a majority of the English people, or the British people, voted in a referendum to leave the European Union. And in less than 10 days, our Parliament will vote on whether to accept the withdrawal agreement that has been drawn up with Brussels. It's been a rather tortuous period of time, and the outcome is very uncertain. We live in uncertain times, in between times, between things that are proposed and things that are may or may not happen, that leave us with this sense of instability and uncertainty. And for most of us, that's a very uncomfortable place to be. But then, isn't that just like life, between promises and their fulfillment? We live in the early days of what's been called the Anthropocene. The Anthropocene started about the same time as I was born, I understand. It's the period of geological history where human influence on our planet is greater than either geology or evolution. And we live in some fear about what the consequences of that might be. So we hear constantly discussions about climate change, about mass extinction, about earthquakes and storms increasing, all kinds of uncertainties that are predicated on the fact that we as human beings may be having far more influence than we ever thought possible upon this very fragile earth on which we live. And there are perils that might even question long-term the future viability of life on this planet. Perhaps a threat that is not yet fully realized, and we live in between, not even sure whether we have the will or even the understanding to respond to it and deal with it. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and Advent is a time when we actually ask the question, what time are we living in? What is the time? What time means to each of us? What is the time in your life, in the life of this church, in the life of our nation, in the light of our planet? What time is it? And how should we then live? Well, the gospel that was read for us just a moment ago is full of quite dire images, some terrifying things that are happening or are likely to happen upon the earth, things that we would rather didn't happen and rather would like to avoid. These are not soothing, sugary kinds of messages that most of the time at this period of the year we'd like to sort of ignore as we rush towards Christmas. These words are not the words you write on your Christmas card as you hang the baubles on your Christmas tree. These are really quite frightening words that describe the world in which we live, the circumstances that we face. And Advent is an interesting time of the Christian calendar because we begin this new year of the church with stories of gloom and the end of the earth, which is threatened, this earth-shattering experience that we face in these stories. And we're being asked, in the light of this, to stand up, to be awake, and to be alert, to read the signs of the times, if you like, in one way or another. One of these, towards the end of this reading, there's a translation that I'd like to share with you. It comes from Eugene Patterson's paraphrase of the Gospels when he uses these words for verse 34 on the text. Be on your guard. Do not let the sharp edge of your expectations get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Otherwise, that day that is coming upon the earth will take you by a complete surprise. Can you imagine anything more in contrast than the way in which the whole of our society is now preparing for these next few weeks leading up to Christmas? What Jesus is trying to say here, at least, and possibly a lot more than this, is what's going on is a lot more than meets the eye. What is happening here on earth, that is happening both in the natural world and in our political world, in our economic world, in our social world, is more than meets the eye. Don't collapse, don't crumble under these circumstances as you face these earth-shattering experiences, Jesus is saying. Pay attention to what's going on and understand what time it really is. And without the wisdom to see and notice that the kingdom of God is coming on the earth, already but not yet, in between times, we're likely to be caught by surprise, just like in a trap. Well, we also read from this passage from 1 Thessalonians, and it's an interesting passage. It comes around about the middle of this particular letter. This was, probably the first letter that Paul ever wrote to one of the small Christian communities that he had formed as a result of his ministry at that time. And the circumstances here were quite unusual. Paul had been in prison in Philippi and had then come to this town, this city of Thessalonica, and he had started working there with some of the people in the Jewish community, and a few had come to believe in this Jesus who had died and who was resurrected, and a small Christian community had started. But the circumstances were such that he found himself with a great deal of hostility, and he was actually chased out of town, and he was unable to stay. Thessalonica, I don't know if you're familiar with where it's located, is in the northeast corner of Greece, and it looks out across the bay towards Mount Olympus. Now, Mount Olympus is the tallest mountain in Greece, and it was the mountain of the gods. It was the place where the gods dwelt, including Zeus, the godfather of the Greek pantheon. And so it was inevitable that the people who lived in that city of Thessalonica, which was a prosperous, busy, large city, would worship the gods of the Greek pantheon. And there were signs of that all around. Not only that, but they were also, of course, occupied by the Romans, and the Romans had brought their deities, and the Roman emperor was stamped on their coins. So in their commerce and in every corner as they walked around the city, they were reminded of the deities that they worshipped. And so when Paul arrived with this message of Jesus, he disrupted the religious state and fundamentally found himself with enemies, and he was chased out of town. And as a result, he didn't really have the time to help this small Christian community develop their faith. And it appears that over a period of time, he was concerned about that. He was worried for them. He prayed for them. He was anxious to know whether, in fact, they had stayed faithful to their new faith or not. And eventually he sent Timothy, one of his disciples, to Thessalonica to find out. And this letter was written when he heard the message back from Timothy that that little fragile Christian community was thriving. They had faith. They had literally turned from idols to worship the true God. And he rejoices in that. So this passage starts out how much he is so thankful to know that God has been faithful to his people despite their small, limited faith. And that's something that they're deeply excited about, and he's deeply excited about. And so he says, in light of the fact that God has been faithful to you and you still have faith, what more can you do as you live in between these different conflicting demands on your life and the circumstances that you face? And this passage highlights two very simple principles that he thinks are important. And I suspect, and it's included in our first reading for the first Sunday of Advent, they're important principles for us as we live in between, not knowing what the future might be in our own lives, in the life of the church, in the life of our nation, in the light of our planet. How should we then live? And here are the two principles. They're very simple. He says, may the Lord make you to increase and abound in love for one another. A fundamental principle of Advent spirituality, of living in between, in this moment in history, in this time, is the love we have for one another. And then he says, and for all. Now that's a bit harder. Not just for each other, the people you know, the people you're quite happy to spend time with, but the people you don't know, the people that are strangers to you. Love for all. And for these Thessalonians, he was saying, love for those that hate you and that are persecuted and you have made life very difficult for you because you follow Jesus. Love them too. So a fundamental spiritual principle here in Advent and for our lives in between, whatever our circumstances be, may be, is to love one another and have love for all. And then he goes on to say, and so he may God also strengthen your hearts in holiness, so that you may be blameless before our God and Father. What might he be talking about there? Love's something we probably experience. Holiness, we're not sure. In fact, we don't very often use that word these days because we sort of see it as a rather pious idea. You know, holier than now. People who sort of separate themselves from us and pretend they're a little superior from us. We don't like that notion of holiness. But that's not actually what Paul is really talking about. Holiness, in one sense, is just being whole. It's about integrity. It's being about authentic, so that the faith that you espouse works itself out in your everyday life, so that people can see in the way you are what you believe, that there's a truth about you, an inner truthfulness about you that really is important, that other people can see in you and can acknowledge and can welcome and appreciate. Holiness. Meister Eckhart had this quite helpful view on it, that what basically holiness is it consists in doing the next thing you have to do with your whole heart and taking delight in doing it. Just being grounded in that place where your faith is translated into your daily life. Two simple principles that Paul is wanting to encourage these young Christians who have held on to their faith, despite the fact that he hadn't had the time to really spend a lot of time with them. Love one another and everyone, and live authentically. Let your faith really be grounded. These aren't easy times in our personal lives, in our church, in our society, in the world. They're difficult times. It's hard to live in these in-between times when we're not sure what the future holes. And it is very easy for us to worry, to be anxious about circumstances, agonizing over an unknown future. Advent, this kind of spirituality, is an antidote to those problems, to the fear that we carry into every day. We are invited to dwell in these principles and to live them out in our daily life. So the message of Advent, well, don't get carried away by the pretty lights or intoxicated by the booze at the office party or tempted by the Black Friday sales. These are not easy times. They're times that demand of us a great resilience. We're called to wake up, to stand firm, loving one another and living authentic lives before God. However dire our situation might be, this is not the end. No matter what happens, our freedom, our redemption, is yet to come. Amen.